Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Robin Scott, drink a wine that has a price tag of $40, but never actually ever costs that when you buy it, as they drink the Moretta Well Estate Vineyard The Spur. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. It's really good to be here.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't know that you're absolutely telling the truth. I think you're a liar.
You know, the only time I tell the truth is when I speak.
You never tell the truth, Scott. You told me you'd call me the next morning.
You can't handle the truth.
You said, "Well, Fred, I'm going to call you tomorrow." I went, "Oh, okay, that's nice." Then you left $25 on my dresser, and I was like, that's
anything to get off the phone.
Strange. You just were moving furniture in my house. That was all. And I was like, what is that supposed to be? It was unusual, but you never called me the next day.
Well, I'm sure you get that all the time.
No, I never get close enough to people to ever know my number. So, you know. Do you know my number?
Well, no, I don't.
It starts with 69, just so you know.
I bet it does. But
then it ends all the way, you know. I don't want to go any further with that.
Thank God.
No. On tonight's show, folks, we have a premium wine, sort of, from California. Actually, it's from Livermore Valley. That's an area that we don't normally trodden in. The one winery that we have done from the Livermore Valley that is probably best known from there is Winte. We haven't drank Winte in a long time. Well, I drank Winte earlier this summer. But we haven't drank Winte on the show for quite some time because their portfolio is quite small. But they do have a 20-some dollar Cabernet. We've never drank on the show. We need to probably do that. But in place of that tonight, we have another Bordeaux-style, well, quasi-Bordeaux-style blend from California, but more specifically Livermore Valley. This is from the winery Moretta's Well Estate Vineyard. That's an odd name because you have a possessive, Moretta's, and then well. So Moretta's Well, so it's their well. Then they say Estate Vineyard. It's just kind of weird. It's hard to say for me. We're just going to call this Moretta. Would you like to call this Moretta?
How about if we call it the name of the wine, The Spur?
That's true. This is The Spur. The Spur is their Bordeaux blend. They claim it costs $40. We buy it at $23. It is 70% Cabernet, 9% Merlot, 7% Malbec, and 5% Petit Verdot. You're like, well, Rob, that's a Bordeaux blend, except for the 9% Petit Syrah.
Well, it's their spin on. It's their spin.
Spin.
On a Bordeaux blend.
We don't like Petit Syrah in those red blends. We don't.
We're going to find out. Maybe we do.
It's never there for a good purpose. It's always the bad seed.
No,
it's like, who are you hanging out with tonight, folks? Wilford. Oh, God. No, you can't do that. Why? Because something bad's going to happen to you.
Uh-huh.
It's the Wilford. It's all, you know, the Petit Syrah is the Wilford in the group. You know, that Wilford always ends you. You end up in Tijuana.
Why are you variety shaming?
With a tattoo where it shouldn't belong.
What? No, 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 no. Yes. Piercings where they don't belong. Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Scott cannot go through metal detectors, folks. That's for certain. Sir, we ain't gonna need you to take off your pants. Why are your ass cheeks both pierced? That's bizarre. You're like, well, I went to Tijuana with Wilfred. And they'll look in their little TSA handbook. They're like, well, that's a legitimate reason. Okay, you can go through, sir. He's not a terrorist, folks. He just has that unfortunate event of going to Tijuana with Wilfred. If you go to Thailand now, You don't make it back, so it doesn't make a difference. Thailand's a dark place. That's all I know.
Dark place.
Yes.
Dark.
Yes. As the fuck sex, Scott. The blue door down that third alleyway. You know about that.
Anyway.
Speaking of blow doors, how about the blue door of this wine?
Did you say blow door? What is that?
Oh, Lord.
That's What, you knock twice, the hole in the wall, something pops out? Yeah.
Knock three times on the ceiling.
There's no glory in that hole, Scott. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Oh, Lord.
That's right.
Anyway, 530 barrels produced, it says on there. We did the math. That's 13,250 cases produced, which is a suspicious round number. But that's okay. 14.5% alcohol. I believe it's 18 months on oak, and they cycle between new, second-used, and third-used French oak. That is correct. It is correct. That's great. No American oak, though, so that's good. My concerns with this wine, I'm going to tell you this. I haven't had it, but I'm concerned it's going to be overripe. I am. I'm concerned it's going to be too jazzy for my tastes. Will I be wrong? Maybe. Hopefully. Because if I'm wrong, I'll drink it.
You love jazzy wines. What's wrong with your... Jazzy. Oh, my Lord. You love Washington jazzy blend wines.
In fact, I don't really.
Oh,
but
Lord.
I like some structure. I like it to be more traditional.
Ah, Jesus.
That's right.
I do. You're so flip-floppy.
No?
Flim-flammy, flip-floppy. I wish you could just stick with one thought. Just be true to it.
That is the one thought I'm being true to. But
sure.
We are going to take a break. But then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. Now, Scott, we're back, folks. You have done a little bit of research, and it's this. Is it this winery that you're talking about here?
No.
Oh.
It's a different winery.
Oh, different winery.
Yeah.
Tell them about the fantastic deal.
So, just we're fooling around before the episode. Myriad of
what?
Well,
you were doing what?
On their back label, they mentioned that they produce 530 barrels of this wine. And Rob, of course, mocking them, saying they're trying to trick you into thinking slow production. And we do
yeah,
the math.
They are.
And it's, you know, it's
very
13,
normal.
13,000.
It's actually quite high production for a faux $40 wine.
And just fooling around doing the Google on barrels of wine and how many bottles it makes, I came across a company that, you know, you could. First of all, it's Sarlus and Sons, family farming vineyards and wine. And on the banner of their page says, click here to get your free canteen and free shipping.
For canteen?
Canteen.
Come on down and get free canteen. Man, we got free shipping for you, boy.
Not canteen like a store, a canteen.
No, it's canteen.
Nope, it's a canteen you put water in.
Not a lot of people use canteens anymore. They're called thermoses.
Sarlus and Sons.
Sarlus and Sons, we got a free canteen when I brought my wine.
Sells wine by the barrel.
We sell wine by the barrel, folks.
Rob, how much do you think a barrel of their wine is? Would you believe 13,000 of your dollars?
But is that pre-bottled? Does it cost extra for that?
That's 300 bottles of their wine. Any barrel of your choice. Imagine you can pick any barrel of your choice.
You can have any barrel of your choice down here. Sarlus and Sons, $13,000 for a barrel of wine.
Click now, get free canteen and free shipping.
$13,000.
I would hope.
Divided by 300. That's $43
a bottle. $43
a bottle
over down here, Sarlus and Sons. Come on down now. We got a free canteen. Free shipping.
It's also a scam. Get this.
What the fuck would you do with all their shit?
So you scroll down the page. Here's where it gets extra amazing.
It's extra amazing down here in Sarlus and Sons. We got rugs and tapestries, all sorts of shit down here.
Your companies, your business establishment's name on the bottle.
Oh.
According to Sarlus and Sons, boom, it's 100% write-off.
There you go, Sarlus and Sons. Tax-free. You put your shit on there. And
We don't have any taxes here on the Wine Vault, but if we did,
Yeah, it's right here at Sardos and Sons. You could knock off $13,000 of taxes and put that shit on there and then
what the fuck? Who the hell? What does it taste like? Then you have 300 bottles of turd. Why would you want 300 bottles of ass? I mean, you know, come on, man.
Hey, we have 300 bottles of ass down here at Sardos and Sons to get free canteens, free shipping.
300 bottles? 25K? Come on, guys.
Since we hold the wines that we custom bottle for an additional year, our scarcity, their scarcity,
well, yeah,
has pushed that vintage, what vintage? That vintage?
Hey,
that vintage?
The vintage
into
barrel.
The 200 plus price point.
What?
Damn your child.
Then,
yeah.
All caps, since these bottles are yours and scarce as they come, the value of these bottles is right at 80 to 100 per bottle.
Yeah, down here, Sardos.
You can't sell that.
Yes, the market rate is around 200, but I think $100 is fair. This is
double your money down here, Sardos and Sons. Yeah, yeah. No.
Venture,
Sardos and Sons.
And then you click on the review, Sardos and Sons. Kelly E. in August of this year. Excuse me, William G. Oh, is that Illy? August of this year, gave 3 stars. He said, it would be 5 stars, but 3 of 4 wine glasses were broken when I opened the box.
Yeah, down here, Sardos and Sons. That's called crystals. You got broken glass, make pretty crystals out of that shit down there. But Sardos and Sons, you get a free canteen, though. You don't need glasses. You got a canteen. Drink out of canteen.
The canteen's for holding wine.
It's a canteen for holding wine, motherfucker. Yeah, down here, Sardos and Sons.
The Cassius Crust is a delightful one. Indeed, we've been enjoying it served
what,
cold.
What was that called?
Cassius Crush.
Cassius Crush down here at Sardos and Sons.
Sardos and Sons, folks.
Indeed, we've been enjoying it served cold on these warm days. The canteen doesn't quite hold the whole bottle, but a hearty swig solves the problem.
Hey, get an old swig down here at Sardos and Sons.
Where's this? I'm going to look and see exactly where Sardos and Sons is located. Strangely enough, it's in the middle of a town, so there is no vineyard there, but it is located in... Oh, that's not a good... Oh, I don't know where that is in California. Oh, my
Santa,
God.
Santa Ynez Valley.
It's south of Bakersfield.
Oh.
Yeah, right north of Los Angeles.
Down here, Sardos and Sons. You can get your own barrel of wine. We grow it ourselves here in Sardos and Sons. You get a free canteen. Glasses are broken here at Sardos and Sons.
There you go. So, the Moretta's well. How did we get off to this start? I don't know, Sardos. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it does have some critical acclaim. Now, we are often critical of these wine reviewers, so that's the acclaim. The acclaim is critical. But the first of the three. Actually, I'm going to start with the lowest score first. And, yeah, it's a southern... No, I'm not going to read it that voice, but this is a southern man. I will provide this wine its review from the Wine Enthusiast. The Wine Enthusiast is a well-known wine publication that is worldwide circulated that often has reviews that nobody reads because they're stupid. You can sign up for your own Wine Enthusiast membership for free. You just have to put in your email, and then there will be viruses downloaded to your computer. That's fine. And the magazines cost about 14 cents a magazine, so it's very cheap. So, the Wine Enthusiast, it gave it 92 of their points, and they wrote, "Deep and delicious. This full-bodied but soft-textured wine is based on Cabernet, overflows with plump black cherries, blackberries, and baking spices, backed by light tannins. Good concentration and a creamy mouthfeel add to its enjoyment. Drink with a hearty bowl of Duke's mayonnaise." What? Well, I don't know what that's all about. That's no Duke's mayonnaise.
I knew. Southern man, you got to watch that. And creamy mouthfeel, of course you're going to attract Wilfred.
Well, it's
Duke mayonnaise, folks. Yeah. Try it today.
Yes, this is James Suckley, and I don't prefer Duke's mayonnaise. I make my own mayonnaise, Scott.
Do you?
Yes.
You like to
how?
Whip,
well,
you
how,
like to whip
James?
Those yolks, do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I'm very. I live in Italy, you know.
Do you?
In Tuscany, yes, yes. In a halfway house, it's not very nice.
It's not.
No, they're chickens that run right in front of me. They sleep on me. They poop on me.
Well,
it's very odd.
Probably not the first time.
When the farmer knows I'm living in his chicken house, I'm going to be quite in trouble. So, anyway, I provided this wine 93 of my points, and I said, attractive, dark-fruited character with notes of ground cloves, leather, cardamom, cedar, and graphite. Steady and toned, with a medium to full-bodied and finely polished tannins, structured and long, just like me.
You're structured, all right.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Tim.
It's Timmy. Oh, I know. I'm so happy to be here today. I'm back on the show. I have not reviewed this wine because no one reads what I do. I'm quite pathetic. I'm desolate. Destitute. Everything is desperate. You know.
Yeah.
I'm a motivational speaker, though, so that's great. Mel Tucker tried to have me come speak to his football team, and then he tried to be romantically involved with me. Yes, I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Anyway, I had to complain. Not to Mel, though. He's quite the lover, I've been told. Anyway, it's an inside joke, folks. Anyway, the tasting panel, Scott. Are you familiar with the tasting
panel?
Yes. Are you?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the basement that they review their wines in?
It's not so much a basement as a coal cellar.
Coal cellar.
A coal cellar.
I would like
a converted coal cellar.
I would very much like to visit that coal cellar. That would be lovely. Anyway, they provided it 94 of their points.
That's a lot of their points.
It's quite a bit. Yes, with a hint of sweet earth reminiscent of old world on the nose and palate. This always approachable red is a blend of 70% Cabernet Sauvignon, 9% Merlot, 9% Petit Sirah, 7% Malbec, and 5% Petit Verdot. It is concentrated and creamy.
That's the second time we've talked about it being creamy.
That's correct. With round tannins and a compelling notes of melting dark chocolate and rich plums. Not regular chocolate.
Melting.
It has to be melting.
Dark chocolate is melting.
Spiced roasted coffee beans go deep. Not too deep, though. Just the tip. But the overall character is plush with generous gobby fruit, because that's a professional word to use, gobby.
Mm-hmm.
This wine way over delivers. It's fantastic. Oh, that's all I have for you tonight.
It's so good. We miss you, Tim.
Melting dark chocolate scares me.
Notes of melting chocolate. So on the nose?
Any reference to melting dark chocolate spooks me a little bit.
Yeah, well,
I'm just saying. I would rather just say mocha. Mocha. Or chocolate. Chocolate. But melting dark chocolate is so specific that it just says to me that I need to take an insulin shot before I drink this wine. And the three yabos that reviewed it, none of which are known to be very unique. Okay, yes. So, in the glass, it does look quite extracted. Oh, Triple B is here to say hi. Hello. But yes, it does concern me when I see melted dark chocolate. You understand why I'm saying that, right?
I don't know why. But I think melted dark chocolate's wonderful.
Not in a wine. Not in a wine. Nevertheless, on the nose.
It's on the nose. It's compelling notes of melting dark chocolate, meaning on the nose.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's fine. On the nose, though, you smell perfumed blackberry.
Tasting panel talk about it being reminiscent of the old world on the nose, and I'll give you that. I think so.
Well, there is a bit of a mineral bramble to it all, a little bit, when you pull in there. It's not a bad nose.
You stick your nose in that, and you could believe it's a French product. That's what they're meaning by old world, hinting at Bordeaux versus Cali.
It's perfumey to a certain extent. It has a little more complexity than your average, you know, Cali.
It's a nice nose.
Well, no, it's a nice nose. It, But a French would be a little more austere in its showing. But I can see what they mean.
Goddamn, we're austere.
It's, I know. I like austere.
Oh, Lord.
Amish drinker.
If you're playing glitchy phrases by the Rob the Wine Guy bingo at home, mm-hmm. and austere's on the list, you just won. Mm. Extra 50 bonus points.
True. Well, austere. Let's go here. Anything else of note?
I really enjoy this nose.
I think it's a nice nose as well. There's a little bit of a green shrubbery. I mean, there is a little bit of forest floor.
Forest floor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not green pepper or anything like that, but a little forest floor.
I thought you were going all critical on it.
No, I like the nose. I think it's a nice nose.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yes, please.
I think I had something spicy that I ate, so it threw it off. I'm going to try it again.
What?
It was very spicy on the palate. That's not correct.
This was? No, it's not.
No, my palate's marred by something.
Wonderful, savory fruit. Plum, a perfectly ripe plum, not overripe, not underripe, perfectly ripe plum. I get the cardamom or that line of spice. One of the reviews talked about cardamom. Well oaked, more towards like a charred style oak. I'm not sure it's the longest thing. I think it was James Suckling's review talked about how long it is.
I don't think so. He
it's
said
a fine finish.
I agree with you with the plum. I taste. I think the nose comes through. The nose is very very a very good representation of the actual palate, because I do taste a little bit of that forest floor. What I am experiencing on the finish is a bit of cayenne. It's nice. And I said that spiciness. The cayenne, there's a cayenne pepper, black pepper finish. More cayenne, though, than anything that comes through on the finish that leaves it almost like a Dry Creek Zin. That's not a bad thing. This is a red blend. You can make it taste whatever you want. Must be a spiciness from the Petite Sirah, because the other four grapes aren't really spicy. The oak also could be given that off,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just the oak, right?
It's a nice component there.
The front palate is a little subdued till that plum kicks in. There are some kind of sort of berry things going on. I'm not sure I get any of the cherry that wine enthusiast was talking about. Of course they got that wrong, but... Mm-hmm.
It has a good second act of the mid palate,
yeah,
because it's got forest floor, but tobacco, definite tobacco leaf that comes in there. It tastes old world on the palate a little bit more. Front palate is you would have a hard time realizing that's California, because it isn't this thing that beat you overhead. My fears are alleviated. This is not jazzy. This is a very good linear representation of a take on Bordeaux blends from France, really. That's what this is. This is a well done homage to Bordeaux. It's got a little twinkle here and there, but
it starts to get maybe a little jazzy and then that mid palate kicks in and just takes it away from going that way. I think where that fruit starts off kind of subdued and then goes all savory on you and it starts to get round, it starts to get that jazzy fruit profile mm-hmm. that you're saying you don't care for anymore. And then it just goes away with that mid-palate, that leather. They talk about, what, granite maybe?
Somebody said cedar graphite. Graphite, that could be there from the Petit Sirah.
I like it more like you said, that
cayenne
tar leather thing.
Kind of thing. Yeah, it's a tobacco leathery
tobacco
kind of
tar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about I'd go far as tar, but the spice roast coffee beans, I can see that. You're not thinking of Colombia. There, you know, think of like a Kenyan roasted bean that has a little bit of more of an earthy element to it. I can see that there. Generous gabi fruit might be a little bit over the top. This wine isn't here to demonstrate gabi fruit. This wine is here to demonstrate an overall package that is more complex than it is showy. So
it really is. It's everything's subtle.
Yeah.
Nothing about it's in your face.
Very savory.
It's just an easy drinker too.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and we've talked about this before. If you like Prisoner, if you like 8 Days in the Desert, if you like those kind of wines, don't drink them. This is one you can buy half the cost, enjoy it twice as much. This is a better wine than those, but it has the same idea, the same 100%. Principle behind it.
It really is a good comparison point, but this is
made
better.
Oh, it's a much better wine.
I mean, what this is that, you know, maybe those drinkers won't care for. This is subtle. This is more subdued.
I haven't found those wines to be particularly showy. No. It's not, doesn't have gobby fruit or anything like
it's
that.
It's bigger.
Yeah, but I don't really see, I mean, I don't, hell, don't they make a Cabernet Prisoner?
Probably.
It's a line now, man. It's just, I don't get to do. And Pinot. Barf. But the OG Prisoner is a Zin-based wine.
What would you care for food pairing with this wine?
That is a bit of a trick. Tonight, actually, I made a risotto, and this is going to sound impossible, but I did it, with minute rice.
Hmm.
Let me tell you how. All right. You cook your minute rice like you normally would, except for you do it in a stock. You do not do it in water. Chicken stock.
But you prepare your minute rice as you would, except using chicken stock.
So mm-hmm.
You follow the package.
Yeah, exactly.
Instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare your minute rice. I'm going to assume you set it to the side for a little while.
Oh, yeah. You let it steep or whatever they call it. Yeah.
Let it dry.
Yeah. Maybe even a little bit longer than you should. Just let it set off the heat. You follow the instructions. And I did smoked sausage. I did that a little bit of corn, diced tomato. All right. And I had that cooked down a little bit. And I had a little bit of Worcestershire in there. There was a liquid, though, right? So then I added my rice, incorporated that in.
Like chunks of sausage? Like quarter inch cubes?
It was sliced and then slices. Halved.
Okay.
So like half moon.
Okay. Got it.
And so I cooked down the liquid into the rice that was in, you know, obviously in the pot. But then, this is how it became tasting like risotto. I added a shit ton of creme fraiche, quite a bit actually, and a lot of Parmesan cheese. Voila. A lot of thyme. Some garlic, salt and pepper. Voila.
It's a cheat.
Oh, it's a big cheat, but guess what? It tasted like risotto.
Risotto-esque.
About as risotto-esque as you're going to... You know what? I defy you to find a packaged risotto that tastes like that. They don't.
Mm, well.
Scratch made? No, come on, man.
Well, it's...
It's not as creamy, but...
You put creme fraiche in it.
I did. It's like, creme fraiche makes anything taste good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've got a nice pappardelle pasta. This sauce is a little boring. Let's put some creme fraiche in there. Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Yes, creme fraiche solves all problems. But... This would taste very good with a mushroom risotto. It'd be great.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Truffle risotto, mushroom risotto. Anything that has a bit of an earthy element to it, it would go well with. This would be a really good base for a red wine reduction too. So if you did short ribs, this would do well with that. It would shine well with things that are fatty. It would do really, really well with a charbroiled pork chop. That would do well. You could do it with steak. You could. A ribeye would be fine. I don't know about the leaner cuts, but a ribeye, if you have something where you have the smoky fat, that sweetness from the smoky fat, this would play off that pretty well. But I really think it would shine best with earthy things like the risottos. Best. And then be pretty good with the other things. It'd be great with the risottos. Or a burger. Well, you could do an upscale burger would also be nice with this.
Upscale burger, a mushroom burger. Well, get you could that do mushroom that. Back in there.
Some great, great high-quality cheese on there. Ooey gooey. Something like that. A really fancy burger.
I tell you, man, this is delicious.
It's a good wine. I like
that plum. It kind of dances around a little bit. At times, it feels like it's at the beginning of the finish.
Well, it's one of the better representations of plum we've had.
It's delicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, you better like plum, but it's not over the top. It just isn't.
I don't love plum. But I like this one because it's balanced so well, and it's just such a well integrated product. There isn't anything that sticks out. It's nice. Everything flows. It's in balance. The wine has good balance.
What was the age on the oaking on this?
18 months. Yeah, and that added that core of mystery.
What a sweet spot they hit with the oaking.
Oh yeah, they did a great job with this wine.
I must say, I would buy this again.
Mm-hmm.
Gladly. I don't... It does feel like it's more of a drink now.
That's where I was coming to next.
Product.
Next year or two.
Yeah, but I wouldn't...
You wouldn't age this.
Well, because it's... They're holding it long enough for you already.
They are. And it's not this massive tannic wine. And you throw in the Malbec and the Petite Sirah, and you already realize they're making this to drink in the near future.
Yes. And I wonder what... Let's go back a couple years and see if we can get a breakdown. Let's see.
Well...
15. Let's see if we got a breakdown. Completely different.
Is it?
Yeah. Way different. Check this out. The 2015, 48% Cab, 20% Petite Sirah, 18% Merlot, 8% Petite Verdot, 6% Cab Franc. Completely different. I just think that's interesting. They put it together, what they think is the best blend for that year, and then for it.
The 16... is 35% Cabernet, 27% Merlot, 22% Petite Sirah, 9%, 4%, and 3% for Petite Verdot, Cab Franc, and Malbec. That being said, I looked up the 19 and the 20, they have the same split. So the 20 has a 7.79975.
Gotcha.
I don't know about the 18, it's not here on wine.com. So the 17 is 64-14-13-9 for Cab, Petite Sirah, Merlot, and Petite Verdot. So they bounce around a little bit.
I tell you what, this makes me want to try more of their products.
That being said, folks, what I would say is the 19 vintage looks like is the seminal vintage for this wine. It's not to say the other vintages got bad scores, but do you really want to run out and buy a 90 from the wine enthusiast? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't trust that. So, the 13 got a 91 from the Spectator, so that's good. The 15 got a 90 from the Spectator, so that's good. Here's the question, though, Scott. What would you pay for this? I got one more thing. I said snap. The 13, the Spur, it was 40% Petite Sirah, 26% Cab, 10% Petit Verdot, 8 and 8 of Merlot, Malbec, and Franc. That would have been a completely different wine. It had a Petit Sirah foundation, and quite frankly, that had a drink now through 2026 back in the 13 vintage. But it looks like they've went towards a traditional, more traditional Bordeaux blend.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? Kudos to them, because I think it's coming due with the Cabernet. Perhaps they didn't have a strong Cabernet a few years ago, and it's been improving.
Yeah, or they're just winging it, you know. And it's interesting, they do, wine.com does list it as a boutique winery based on production of cases, and mm-hmm. apparently they're not aware of the production level of the 2019, because
it's robust,
way more than 1,000 cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's 530 barrels. Maybe their barrels are very small.
Yeah, maybe your barrels are very small.
He's got big barrels. That's right. Oh, mm-hmm. It's fantastic. What?
I don't often get this. I don't often think this.
Are you thinking delicious. About killing a hooker?
This would be delicious to end your meal with a dessert. This would do well with chocolate. This would do well with cannoli. This would do well with...
Cannoli?
Mm-hmm. Chocolate.
It would do well with a chocolate torte that wasn't overly sweet, I would say.
Fudgy,
that.
Ridiculously fudgy, dense chocolate cake.
It couldn't be overly delicious. Sweet, but...
I don't know. I think this would be delicious with cake.
I've had a chocolate torte before that, if there was some of this left in the glass, it'd be all right. It'd be all right. You wouldn't hate it. Yeah. Yeah. Just has that, it just has the right flavor profile to kind of go with that. So, but something with chocolate light frosting from Duncan Hines, it's probably not a good thing.
Well,
what if they made the topping with Duke's mayonnaise? I would think it'd be fantastic, Scott. You know, Duke's mayonnaise sent me a letter.
Did they send you a letter? What did it say? I bet they weren't happy with you.
No. They said, Wilford, while we appreciate the fact that you recognize our mayonnaise as being the finest mayonnaise in all the lands, and I do say that, we would appreciate you, you know, abstaining from talking about masturbating with our product that is not its intended purpose. So, you know, they were very professional, Scott.
Did they tell you it's not that kind of party?
No.
Keep your dick to yourself.
They were very, very, but they sent me, once again, appreciation and as compensation for you loving our product so much, here is a gallon of Duke's mayonnaise. So,
did they?
Yes, they did.
And they said, stay away from our product for the rest of your life.
No, they just said, thank you. But P.S., please don't masturbate with our product.
Yes, so, they sent you a gallon of it.
Yeah, I didn't masturbate with it, Scott.
You didn't?
No, I fucked it. It's different. I had sexual intercourse with it. And you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to call it. See? That's what you don't do for me.
Call it.
That's right.
Call it.
Yes.
You're going to call the mayonnaise.
it gave me its number. It's a customer service line on the back of the bottle. I'm going to call it tomorrow. Tell them how good it was the night before. That's right. They're not going to take that gallon back. I can tell you that right now. You can't put that on the product line. No. You have to wipe the lipstick off it first.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have a popular world-renowned segment. Ask Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
That's right. That's right. Scott, I actually recently got my certification.
Yeah, I'm sure you're certifiable.
Actually, that's what it, yeah, that is actually what it was.
You are certifiable.
That's not as exciting for me now. Why do you have to ruin everything, Scott?
It's easy to do for
Dickhead.
You.
Dickhead.
Well.
Go ahead. I'm still, tonight, how this works, folks, is for those who don't listen to the show, which is four or five people, I think, in the world. Anyway, there's something called Ask Dr. Vinny on Wine Spectator, where they have made-up questions. And then they pretend to answer fake emails. The Wine Vault would never do that.
We've never done that.
No. They're all real emails. Rob, the wine guy, doesn't write them before. It doesn't matter. Anyway, don't pull back the curtain so they see the magic that happens behind the scenes. So, Scott, what's my first question so I can help the consumer?
From Dinah.
Dinah?
Of Hoboken, New Jersey. Dinah says, Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
Okay.
What does well cut mean when referring to a wine?
Oh, I thought you meant when it refers to a circumcision.
Wine.
A wine.
To a wine.
Well, what does well... Doesn't... Why
what
would
does
she
well ha- cut mean
does
when
it,
referring to a wine?
It's not a wine. It's not a wine. No one... Have you ever referred to a wine as well cut? Oh, this wine is... Nobody talks that way.
I've never heard of that.
No,
term.
Dinah, you dumbass. I mean, even Dr. Vinny said well cut is just something that means something's good. You dumbass. Well cut. Well, doesn't mean... Well, I've heard of well cut referring to, like, scotch. But that means, once again, this is a good scotch. She's like, what does well cut mean? I wonder if she's like in a party where she's talking to people that are smarter than her. They're not, it's not a bright party. It's
Well, you weren't there.
No, I wasn't. And people are like, this wine is well cut. You're drinking beer, Joe. Wow, yeah, this is wine of hops. And it's well cut. And Dinah's like, I don't understand. I'm not sophisticated enough for this party. I don't understand all this term. I think I'm going to send a fake email to Wine Spectator because I Googled wine and I like to watch things. So I said wine watching. And so my Google sent me to Wine Spectator. And I said, oh, there's a doctor there named Vinny. And they have a chipmunk with a mask on with a wine glass. And he's wearing white gloves. So that is exciting for me. I think I'll send him an email. You know what I normally do? I send personals in the newspaper, Scott. It's great.
In the newspaper?
No. Yes, I'm. This is Wilfred, not Dinah.
To a chipmunk?
Well, you know, when you get to a certain age, you get desperate, Scott. So you'll take anything you can get. But that's not the point. But Dinah's a moron. So I always think, well, I'm not going to talk about Hoboken, but I don't know. It freaks me out. That name Hoboken sounds like hobos.
Yeah, I thought you liked Hoboken. Dear Physician's Assistant Wilfred.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes.
This is from Jean in Hudson, Florida.
Hudson, Florida.
I think every state has a Hudson in it.
Probably.
Jean from Hudson, Florida, left a case of wine in her car for a day when the temperature was in the upper 80s.
Oh, no.
The bottles were very warm when she removed them.
That will happen.
And the tops looked like champagne bottles.
That's not good.
Did I kill them in the heat?
You didn't do anything good. First of all, you could actually... What's the person's name again? Jean?
Jean.
Sure you're not Steve Gibson? Because that dumbass does that, you moron. Oh, yeah, I'll be over where I'm going to hang out. Then he ghosts you. He's a dickhead. That dumbass. Little... Anyway, I can't say that word. Yes, Jean, that's bad. You could open a bottle and find out the hard way, but normally that wine will be cooked and will have, you know, overripe flavors and taste like stew. But maybe you have to... Why would you leave it? Then again, I'm sure that she probably has... What's that? Scar and Slocan wine or whatever it is? She probably got 300 cases. Hey, down here, sugar. I don't know. It's a little creepy. I would like to get a whole... barrel of wine and have them make it. And, you know, I would have them make my own wine. You know what I would put on the label? A picture of my naked crotch. And then they would have to print that over. And I gave them $13,000, motherfucker. You're going to put my picture of my crotch, naked crotch, on every single label. I wonder if that'll be worth $100 then. Assholes.
What would you do with a barrel of wine? It's like, that's a lot of wine to drink the same thing.
300.
Over and over.
It is. And that stuff over. Tastes like shit, probably, too. You know.
Dear physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Yes, yes.
Can I decant a bottle of wine before bringing it to a restaurant? This is Cindy from Chicago.
To drink?
Can I decant a bottle of wine before bringing it to a restaurant?
I think that probably not. I mean, you can bring in your bottle, but they're going to charge you a corkage fee. So if you decant the wine, I don't think that they would allow you to do that. You can call the restaurant and say, hey, my name is Cindy. They would hang up because your name is Cindy. Actually, rather one guy's sister's name is Cindy, but they would hang up if she called, but that's okay.
Why would they hang up if she called?
Because her name is Cindy. The premise of this joke is Cindy's... Nobody's named Cindy anymore that I know of. That's an older name. It's like Ethel. Who the fuck named... Well, no, there's probably some fucking hipster jackass. My son is named Ethel. Why'd you name your son Ethel? Because it's unusual. It's counterculture. No, you named your son Ethel because you're a dick cheese dumbass. That's why you did it. Oh, yeah. What's the question? Oh, yeah. I'm Cindy. Look, that's really stupid. Why would you? I've got a bottle of Behringer White Zinfandel. I want to decant. You don't. Cindy, you don't have good wine. You don't. You left it in the car probably for a day at 80 degrees. No, Cindy. Why would you want to? No. Restaurants would say, go fuck yourself. And you know what, Cindy? I'm going to tell you to do. Go fuck yourself. So, no. Stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, physician's assistant, Wilfred.
Thank you very much, folks. Now, I would like to give thanks to myself and also Duke's Mayonnaise as my sponsor.
I don't think they're sponsoring you.
They are.
You received a cease and desist letter?
No, I said, no, it was a gentle request. Yes. It also, it came with a package, and the package is ticking, but I didn't open it. I'm not stupid. I put it in my car.
I think it's a first, and maybe it's a violation of your constitutional rights.
I live
rights.
In my car, folks. Well, yes.
But you have a restraining order from you being anywhere within 50 feet of a bottle of, or jar of, Duke's Mayonnaise.
But not the squeezable.
It's a bottle.
That's the best.
No. Well, I think it's inclusive of all their product lines.
I thought that was a loophole. Anyway, Duke's Mayonnaise, the best mayonnaise to fuck.
Jesus so Christ.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and get right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Now, off the air, Scott had commented that he felt that it probably was illegal in many states for someone to have sexual relationships with food products. Now, in Scott's defense and Scott's support, he does Google fucking food products quite a bit.
No.
Not on his work computer, but at home. So he would know, theoretically, A, what that entails, and B, if it's illegal or not. So... Wilford might be in the wrong in this situation. But with that, the Moretta's Well Estate Vineyard, The Spur. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine? It's a perplexing wine.
I'm at 90. Ooh. I'm going to give this 90 of my points. It doesn't score higher. It's really good. I enjoy it. Definitely would buy it again. It's like, this is a wheelhouse wine. But at the same time, it doesn't knock my socks off. It doesn't blow me away. Definitely would buy it again. I highly recommend it. The other thing about the 90 versus a higher score, it's not. I don't think this is ageable. That's my impression.
No, I would agree.
Now, it has a really nice complexity. I'd like it to be a little full-bodied. I'd like it to be a little lengthier on the finish. That's the one thing that's not quite there in this wine. It's not a flaw, but it's just not this wonderful finish. The finish doesn't match up with the rest of the wine. The oaking's wonderful. It's not the biggest tannic thing, so that side of the fence of the wine is good, really good, just keeps it from being great, great, great. But the rest of the wine, why it does get a 90, subtle complexity, whether it's the nose, what we've talked about with the quieter, more subtle berry fruit going to that plum that maybe is the distinguishing character of the wine, to that graphite thing, tobacco, leather, whatever you want to call that. It's so subtle, it's like it almost seems different at different times when I taste this. But there's also kind of a sweet, earthy, herbal thing going on too. But it's a relatively complex wine. Just wish it had longer finish.
Yeah. And I will agree with the 90. I'll give it a 90. I like the complexity. I think that the fact that they went this route with this wine makes me happy. It's dry. It has complexity. It's focused on, you know, good winemaking skills. Yeah. Or have been exhibited in this wine.
They know what they're doing.
They do. And the oaking just has framed it. I think the finish, it's not a wildly complex finish, but the cayenne is lengthy and it has a beautiful spicy thing that just kind of lasts for a while. Is it one or two notes? Yeah, it is. But the rest of the wine, you know, you're talking a $24 bottle of wine, so you can only demand so much. I think this wine punches above its weight. If you paid $40 for it, you'd be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. You did ask the question. I don't think we addressed it.
Yeah.
At a full $40 for this?
You'd be fine.
Yeah.
You would be disappointed.
And that's a nice number in my head. You know, when we play that game, what would you pay for this? What should you pay for this? The other thing, folks, you're out to, not necessarily fine dining, but a nice meal, a nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. You see this on the menu.
Oh, this would be great.
Absolutely.
I mean, especially if it was like 50-ish. It'd be a great bottle of wine. Now, what you could also do is buy it and decant it before you go to the restaurant. I hear they'd love that.
Jesus Christ.
What a fucking... I know they're fake questions, but what if they weren't? What if somebody really wanted to know, is it okay to decant a bottle of wine before I go to a restaurant and take it to a fucking... No! No!
Well, it's like, if you... if you would decant the bottle, it's surely you would put it back into the bottle for transport purposes.
It's something called about open container. There's that.
I get it, but it's like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Why are you that big of a ponce that you have to... Folks, please don't be that way. It's still grapes in a bottle. Don't be that big of a ponce. As big of a ponce as I am about that kind of stuff, it never would occur to me to even think about asking that question. It just never... I have brought wines to restaurants before where I knew that was the expectation, and they did a corkage fee. It was great. I loved it. But it never really occurred to me to say, you know, should I open it beforehand and put it in my own receptacle and take it in because I'm just too good for everything else?
If you're going to bring a 20-year Bordeaux out to a restaurant, really?
It's not the place.
That's not where you bring that.
No, you don't do that, folks. Those are things to drink at home and to savor and to experience in a more controlled setting. You don't take your 1986, you know, Cheval Blanc to, you know, Cheddar's to have a, you know, you don't do that. I don't give a shit how nice a restaurant is.
Even if it was the high quality of as Applebee's?
Oh, Crapplebee's? Yeah. You know, I wouldn't do that. IHOP. No, you don't do that.
The Cheddar's. Oh, Charlie's.
Even at La Costa Roja, you shouldn't do that.
No?
They have a sirloin with some veins in it. It's nice.
Oof.
Yes. For those without subtitles, that's Red Lobster. So, $2.90 and a tip of the cap.
Yeah. Highly recommended.
It's a good wine. Yeah.
It really is.
It's a good, strong wine. I'll put it in the Hall of Fame. Yep.
We've found kind of a sweet spot with these domestic, predominantly California Bordeaux-style blends.
I wouldn't go so far as to call this a Bordeaux-style blend. I don't think the percentages are quite right there. And you throw a Petite Sirah on there, I'm going to put a hard stop on that. But
oh my Lord.
For a Bordeaux-centric, homage to Bordeaux wines, but more of a Bordeaux-centric style wine, yeah.
I remember when you said you can be a bit of a ponce, and I went, no, Rob, you can't be a ponce.
I'm not going to. You now put Petite Sirah on that motherfucker. It's good despite of its parts, so, you know.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
I let him go because I was trying to figure out what he was doing.
It's the Three Stooges theme.
Oh, it was very accurately presented. It just sounded like you were just like spitting all over yourself.
It actually is.
Yeah.
I was spitting all over myself, but it's very accurate.
Thank you for telling us what that
theme
was.
Song,
dumbass. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu, but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.